I want now to read one last poem to you. And it's a, like Kicking the Leaves, a poem in sections, several parts. And it's a poem that bears relation to the poem I just read, although written earlier. This is an attempt to go further in a way, but only an idea. There are many other things in this poem besides notions of time that I'm working with there. This is a poem called Stone Walls, and it's the poem of coming back as much as anything is. A poem in six parts, I think it is. Stone walls emerge from leafy ground and show their bones. In September, a leaf falls singly down, then a thousand leaves whirl in frosty air. I am wild with joy of leaves falling, of stone walls emerging, of return to the countryside, where I lay as a boy in the valley of noon heat, in the village of little sounds, where I floated out of myself into the world that lives in the air. In October, the leaves turn on low hills in middle distance, like heather, like tweed, like a tweed roven from heather and gorse, purples, greens, reds, grays, oranges, weaving together this joyful fabric. And I walk in the afternoon sun, kicking the leaves. In November, the brightness washes from the hills, and I love the land most. Leaves down, color drained out in November rain, everything gray and brown against the dark evergreen, everything rock and silver, lichen and moss on stone, strong bones of stone walls showing at last in November cold, making wavy rectangles on the unperishing hills. Part two. Wesley Wells was my grandfather's name. He had high cheekbones and laughed as he hoed, practicing stories. The first time I remember him, it was summer at twilight. He was weak from flu and couldn't hike for his cows on Ragged Mountain. He carried the old chair with no back that he used for milking to the hillside over the house and called up mountain, "Kabosh, kabosh, 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 kabosh." While he milked, he told about drummers and baseball. He recited Lyceum poems about drunk deacons, or about Lawyer Green, whose skin was the color green, ridiculed as a schoolboy who left town and returned triumphant. And riding home from the hay fields, he handed me the past, how he walked on a row of fence posts in the blizzard of 88, or sawed oblongs of ice from Eagle Pond, or in summer drove the hay rack into shallow water, swelling wooden wheels tight inside iron rims, or chatted and teased outside Amos Johnson's with Buffalo Billy Fisk, who dressed like a cowboy. While I daydreamed my school year life at Spring Glen Grammar School or Hampden High, I longed to return to him in his awkward coat and cap, in his sweater with many holes. Three. A century ago, these hills were bare. You could see past Eagle Pond to sheep in the far pasture, walls crossing cleared land, keeping Keniston lambs from Peasley potatoes. Today I walk in fields grown over, among bare birches, oak saplings, enormous sugar maples gone into themselves for winter, beside granite that men stacked for 25 cents a rod, plus forage for oxen. Boulders sledded into place, smaller stones fitted by clever hands to lock together like the arched ramparts at Mycenae. I come to the foundations of an abandoned mill, at the two sides of a trout stream, field stone walls emerging uncut and unmortared, rear like a lion gate, emptiness over the still rushing water. Four. In this part, you will notice some politics that are out of date, as I knew they would be shortly when I wrote them, though perhaps not quite so shortly. Part four. Allende's murderers follow Orlando Letelier to Washington. His car explodes when they push the lever. His scream is distant, like the grocer's scream stabbed in the holdup. These howls, and Svetlana's and Yelabuga, who hangs herself in her cottage, pulse, reverberate and die in the scrub pine that grows from granite ledges, visible against snow at the top of Kearsarge. Because jamming plates drove the Appalachian range through the earth crust before men and women, before squirrels, before spruce and daisies, when only amoebas wept to divide from themselves. Stone dwindled under millennial rain like snowbanks in March and diminished under glaciers, under the eyes of mice and reindeer, under the eyes of foxes, under Siberian eyes tracking bear 10,000 years ago on Kearsarge. And the Shah of Iran's opponents wake to discover nails driven through their kneecaps. When Pinochet frowns in Chile, hearing these howls, the corners of his mouth twitch with an uncontrollable grin. Tiberius, listening, grins. Each morning we watch stone walls emerge on Kearsarge and on Ragged Mountain. I love these mountains which do not change. The screams persist. I continue my life. 5. At Thornley's store, the dead mingle with the living. Benjamin Keniston hovers with Wesley among hardware. Kate looks over spools of thread with Nanny, and old shadows stand among dowels and raisins, woolen socks and axes. Now Ansel stops to buy salt and tells Bob Thornley it got so cold he saw two hound dogs put jumper cables on a jackrabbit. Skiers stop for gas. Summer people join us. Hitchhikers, road workers, machinists, farmers, saw sharpeners. Our cries and hungers, stories and music reverberate on the hills and stone walls, on the Exxon sign and clapboard of Thornley's store. Part 6 is the last part. At church we eat squares of bread. We commune with mothers and cousins, with mothering, fathering hills, with dead and living, and go home in gray December, in Advent waiting, among generations unborn, who will look at the same hills as the leaves fall and turn gray, and watch stone walls ascending Ragged Mountain. These walls are the bones of presidents, men and women who were never born, who will never lead the republic into the valley of cattle. When gangs fight with dogs for the moose's body, and poems for Letelier are scattered like the molecules of his body, and the books are burnt, and this room wet ashes, and language burnt out, and the dead departed along with the living, wavering stone lines will emerge from leaves in November on mountains without names. Pole beans raise their green flags in the summer garden. I grow old in the house I wanted to grow old in. When I am sleepy at night, I daydream only of waking the next morning to walk on the earth of the present, past noons of birch and sugar bush, past cellar holes, many miles to the village of nightfall. Thank you.